Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Hey everyone, it's Wendy. Welcome back. I'm so glad you're here with me today. Today, we're going to really dive into something I know is absolutely incredibly important. It's something I go through every year. You do too. But I go through professionally also a series of events we call the holidays. And today, I really want to dive into how to overcome emotional eating during Thanksgiving. I mean, we are now in what I call the Super Bowl of weight loss because it is the hardest role of the year when it comes to managing our weight. Between Halloween to January 2nd, the reality is we are faced with more challenges with our food than at any other time of the year. Holidays bring joy and connection and love and fun and gifts and trees and presents and, you know, so many things, family and, but it also brings food. And there's also stress, memories, pressure, a lot of psychological triggers that can occur during this time, and a whole lot of food. But emotional eating during this season really isn't about a lack of willpower or a lack of discipline, by any means, not at all. It's a mix of biology, psychology, environment, and learning our behavior and habit loops. So today I'm going to actually break down the science in the way that feels human. Then we're actually going to walk through the behavior modification strategies you can start using during this Thanksgiving season that comes about over the next week. Here's why this time period is so difficult. And there really are embedded reasons why. I think everybody knows it on the forefront of, yes, it's hard. Oh, it's going to be hard. And oh yeah, it'll be hard. But the truth is, it is really hard. There really is built-in overload during this time of the year. Thanksgiving essentially is a perfect storm for emotional eating. Food is everywhere. It's abundant. It's socially encouraged. Have some of this. Try some of that, right? Eating becomes part of celebration and belonging. And our routines are interrupted, right? From sleep to movement, to hydration, exercise, they change, right? From the Wednesday before Thanksgiving up until the Sunday after Thanksgiving. You may be off from work, you may be working different shifts, you may be having different holiday seasons, you may be Black Friday shopping all day on Friday after Thanksgiving or getting prepared for Cyber Monday and whatever else there is to Giving Tuesday. I don't know. There's so many things now, right? But even people with stable eating habits experience disinhibition. What that is a reduced self-regulation in this type of environment. We all have a hard time, realistically. Now, the more emotionally connected or attached to food you are, the harder time that you will absolutely have, understandably so. There is the brain's reward system that really comes into play during this time period. Thanksgiving foods tend to be high fat, high carbohydrate, and really palatable, and some nostalgically related. So we are connected to them emotionally. I can remember. I don't have a venue for this right now to get it. But I remember every Thanksgiving having what we call babka bread. And it's a really yummy, warm bread. And my grandpa used to put butter on it. And we would always have it at the Thanksgiving table.
And I don't know where to get it where I live now, but if I did, I certainly would want it because there's such an emotional connection with respect to that food and many others, but definitively that food for Thanksgiving for me with my grandpa is absolutely related and reminds me particularly of my childhood and being raised with him around the holidays. So these foods, though, they activate that dopamine reward pathway, especially in the nucleus accumbens. When you add emotional stress or nostalgia on top of it, dopamine spikes become much stronger. In people who struggle with emotional eating, the brain actually shows a stronger reward response to few food cues. Lowered executive control when emotions rise. So what that means is we are not able to really think through what we're about to do when we're more emotional. And a quicker shift into automatic behavior. So if that's what we've always done, we've always grabbed that bread, we've always grabbed that dessert, we've always grabbed that whatever, then we do that at this time of year. There's a quicker shift into that behavior pattern. This means your brain becomes more reactive to emotional triggers and food becomes self-soothing. That is imperative, especially because we know that there's more stress during this time period. Now you can have what's called eustress, EU stress, good stress, right? So when family comes over, when we're getting the foods ready, when everybody's showing up at different times or whatever that is, and you're excited, that's beautiful. It's wonderful, but it is a stressor. It's different, right? And we are raising adrenaline and raising cortisol, even in the positive stress. And then, of course, there's the other, right? There's the negative stress. Maybe there's a psychological component of your family interdynamics. Maybe there's the loneliness that may come with this time period. There are, between family dynamics, travel stress, right? You've got to get on a plane, to get on a bus, to get on a train, to get to whomever's house to celebrate. That could, there, you know, there's definitely travel stress involved in this time period. And I think Thanksgiving, to be honest with you, I have been caught in more airports on Thanksgiving. I choose out of love for myself not to travel on a plane during this time period because I've been caught in way too many airports. And I can remember a few years back, I tried once again to hop on an airplane to go and visit some of the people that I consider family up in Virginia, and went to go get on the plane, and we waited and waited and waited, and then it was canceled, and then we waited again. And my children, my kids and I, who were adult children at the time, getting there closer, were driving, and they said, "Mom, let's hop in the car and just drive." And we did. That's what we did to get off the airplane rigmarole. But yeah, there's definitely travel stress, right? There's expectations during this time period. And, for many people, there are memories and there can be grief. There's no doubt, right? If you're missing those people that have, you've lost or that have left you or, have passed from this earth, there is grief. And that can all drive emotional eating, no doubt. We know that stress increases cortisol, which boosts cravings for quick energy food, usually sugar or carbohydrates. Cortisol also inhibits satiety signals from the hormone leptin, making us feel hungrier than we actually are. So cortisol is more than just about belly fat, guys. It really does change how we eat. It changes how we store the food, but it also changes how we eat. It's why you may eat even when you're not hungry during this time when you have higher cortisol, because your biology is literally turning the volume up on your cravings. So when we think about that, right, we know that there's an increase in cortisol. We know what that's doing to us with cravings. We also know that there's an emotional meaning layer, right? Many Thanksgiving foods are tied to comfort, peace, or tradition, and the brain stores these emotional memories in the hippocampus and the amygdala. When you smell stuffing or pumpkin pie, or for me, babka bread, it activates memory circuits, not just hunger cues. And that's why the holiday table can feel really emotionally charged, both with good feelings and sometimes negative feelings. But that emotional charge absolutely can move us into the food. So what actually causes emotional eating during this time period? Well, we know that there's an emotional brain hijack. When stress or emotion spikes, the amygdala overrides the prefrontal cortex. This happens at all times of the year, guys, what I'm teaching you here. So it's important to remember. So when your stress or emotion spikes, the amygdala overrides the prefrontal cortex. That's why when I get on a call with someone or I'm running a group or teaching people, it's not about the cognitive knowing here. Because as soon as stress or emotion spikes, the amygdala will override it. We are feeling as opposed to thinking. The part of the brain that's responsible for impulse control and decision making goes to sleep, so to speak. So it makes emotional eating faster, automatic, and less conscious. This hijack can last 90 seconds to 4 minutes, enough to eat more than you wanted to easily. We also know that there's learned association loops. Emotional eating is often a conditioned response. Emotion, behavior, and reward, if you just think about it in that way. Emotion, behavior, reward. So the emotion could be stress, overwhelm, loneliness. Behavior is eating something comforting. And the reward is that momentary sense of relief that we get. Now, momentary, for some people, 1 minute, for other people, 5, but it doesn't last long until the shame train comes in. The brain learns when I feel X, I eat, whatever that might be. Thanksgiving amplifies this because triggers are predictable and now they're repetitive. Fatigue and decision depletion. Holidays include less sleep, more decisions, and more stimulation. And your willpower weakens because the brain has used up glucose on nonstop decision making. And just wanted to bring you another idea to help you manage your stress and cortisol levels during this holiday time. Years ago, when I recognized that there was actually relief from my sleepless nights and stressful days and sore neck muscles, which I had from where I hold my tension and stress constriction patterns, I recognized and found this product called magnesium cream. Well, we've tweaked it over the years and added some GABA and some B5 to really help naturally induce sleep. You take a little bit of that cream and you rub it on the bottom of your feet, particularly in between your toes, to really help with a restful night's sleep. You'd be amazed at how different it works. And you can find that same magnesium cream up on my website at www.wendyfrancis.com. Go ahead and take a look because you'd be amazed at how different your nights can go. And we know that if the nights go well, the days go better. So Thanksgiving amplifies this because triggers are predictable and repetitive. There is fatigue and decision depletion during this Thanksgiving time. Holidays include less sleep, of course, more decisions, more stimulation. Your willpower weakens because the brain has used up glucose on nonstop decision making. Did you know that happens? There's glucose that's used in your brain in order to make decisions. And this is why emotional eating tends to happen later in the day or after social interactions. We also know that there's more harsh self-talk and shame cycles during this time. Our shame increases cortisol. That's what happens. The more shame we feel, the more stress we get, the more cortisol increases. and it reduces self-regulation. Feeling guilty about food can paradoxically lead to more emotional eating. This is called the what, the F effect in my book, but in behavior science, it's called the what the hell effect. So we just kind of throw in the towel and we go for it. Now, there are ways to interrupt emotional eating in real time. So I really want to shift to some practical tools, right? In all these podcasts, I lay out problem, right? Here's the problem. Here's what we know we deal with. And then we talk about solutions. I was just speaking with this, with a contractor yesterday regarding this. We had a problem in my home. They installed the wrong windowsills in my home. Totally doesn't match what we have going on here. Didn't verify it with me first and just came in and did it. And then I went out and everything was wrong. And so we were really trying to talk through solutions as opposed to the problem, because the problem was a big problem. So in any case, same thing here on the podcast. Like to talk about problem, but then also bring you in to solutions. So first and foremost, let's really talk about some practical tools that are really grounded in behavior science. These are not just made up in my mind, but they really are grounded in behavior science. So first thing, the 90-second pause. When you feel the urge to emotionally eat, pause for 90 seconds. This lets the amygdala activation wave pass. So during this pause, ask yourself, what am I actually needing right now? And is this hunger? Is it stress? Or is it emotion? This can disrupt the automatic loop because you start to bring yourself into the prefrontal cortex and out of the amygdala. I did a meditation weeks ago around the pause, outlining that for you and giving you something to really go back to utilize. You can take a look at that, or you could just try it for 90 seconds, set the timer on your phone and breathe to let that amygdala activation wave pass. Number two, you can use the name it to tame it approach. So neuroscience actually shows that labeling an emotion reduces its intensity. So you have to say it out loud, guys, not just in your mind, but you've got to bring it outside, right? So you can say something, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling anxious, or this is feeling lonely. This is, or something like, this is stress showing up as hunger. This reactivates the prefrontal cortex, your logical brain. And again, reduces that amygdala activation. Once you bring that prefrontal cortex online, well, that's where the game can be played, so to speak. Number three, create a sensory grounding break. So before touching your food, do a 30-second grounding exercise. Nobody has to know what you're doing. Feel your feet on the floor. Take a long exhale and notice one smell or one color in the room. When you ground yourself, you pull your nervous system out of impulsive mode. I've also used this with clients in teaching them how to do one sensory experience in the moment at a time. So what do I see? What do I hear? What do I feel? What do I taste? But not yet until you're ready to eat. And what do I touch? And so you recognize one of each of those in the moment and you imprint that. And that helps your nervous system ground. Now, here's what I love. Number four, you can create what we call the holiday plate group blueprint. Everybody's constantly asking me, what do I put on the plate then? What do I do? What do I do? And the truth is, you have to do what's going to feel right for you and what's going to feel like a success. But if you're looking at it from a physiological perspective, instead of rigid rules, you can try something a little bit structured, like putting half of your plate as protein and vegetables, a quarter of your plate as the carbohydrate component, the mashed potatoes, sweet potato, and then a quarter of your plate as a dessert or that favorite food, whatever that might be, even if it's not a dessert option. That gives you a little bit of the indulgence, so to speak, doesn't enable the feeling of deprivation or rebellion, and also keeps you physiologically stable because you've got some fiber and some protein on that plate. It does, in fact, give you that holiday plate blueprint. Number five, use the first bite awareness technique. Fully focus on the first bite that you eat. Science actually shows the pleasure response is highest in the first 3 to 5 bites. So when you savor that bite, you naturally regulate without feeling deprived. Number six, anchor the food to fullness, not emotion. So ask yourself during the meal, where am I on the hunger scale? Do I need more or do I just want more for emotional comfort? Awareness actually reduces reactive eating. Number seven, set pre-meal boundaries with yourself. So, for example, I'm going to enjoy dessert, but not use it for stress. I'll check in with my hunger before X number of seconds. If I feel overwhelmed, I'll take 2 minutes away from the table. I love using the 2 to 5 minute break rule. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, you want to go for that second helping, you know you're eating out of stress or boredom or just love for the food or craving or emotion of any kind. Take a 2 to 5 minute break. Go down to the bathroom, go outside for a few minutes, depending on where you're eating Thanksgiving meal. Nobody has to know what you're doing. Just take a few minutes and move away from the table to re-regulate. That difference really helps your brain to follow the script that you preset for the meal. It brings you back into a grounded space and moves you out of the amygdala. So, besides in the moment techniques, there are some prevention strategies that you can utilize before the holidays. So, first, remember to pack your stress tools, so to speak. So before going into the holidays, you can decide how you decompress, how you're going to step away from the table, and how you can self-soothe without food. So, what helps you decompress? Is it taking a walk? Is it deep breathing? Is it texting a friend? Is it, going out for a run in the morning? Is it going for a hike? Is it music? Is it a short bathroom break for the quiet? Whatever that is, right? Make sure you have those stress tools at your disposal. And what that means is write them down on a piece of paper, put them in your pocket. Because that brings you into the prefrontal cortex. When you're emotional, it's difficult. And so remember, when you write them down, it's very, very helpful because it keeps you in that prefrontal cortex and out of the amygdala. Please, please remember, do not arrive to the meal starving. Everybody always doesn't eat all day and then shows up to Thanksgiving and wonders why they overate. Well, that's what's going to happen. You can't not because you're really hungry. And the truth is, you don't have a choice then. So eat your normal breakfast. And if Thanksgiving is a later afternoon, then eat a normal lunch so that when you walk into the meal, you're really okay, physiologically. Remember to get good sleep and make sure you're hydrated. Finally, you can visualize your ideal experience. What would it look like to just enjoy the food without losing control? What would that meal look like? What would the experience look like? Take the night before to really, really visualize what that's going to look like. Now, we do that in sports psychology a lot. But the reality is we can do it in life and it absolutely helps. We know that what we think can become truth if we allow ourselves to really sit in the visual of it. Number five, and the hardest part, right, is can be handling family stress and social pressures. Please remember to create emotional boundaries. If someone comments on your body or your food, you can just really say back to them, I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need any more. Thanks. I'm really just listening to my body today, and I don't need any more. Be short, neutral, and calm and concise about what you respond to them around the food part of this holiday. Remove yourself from the situation. If you're overstimulated, take that 2 to 5 minute break. It's not rude, it's regulation. And choose connection over coping with food. So think about how you want to connect with people during that day. And sometimes I've told clients to create other facets of connection besides it being around the food. Do you guys all want to go for a walk together after, or go to the movies? You know, play tennis, depending on where you live, do something fun and different, enjoy a class together or a special movie that everybody can enjoy to connect around. All of those things help take the weight, no pun intended, off the food and put it back into connection. Remember, during this time period, emotional eating on Thanksgiving is not about a lack of discipline. It's not. It's about brain chemistry, hormones, stress response, habit loops, environment, emotional history. But remember, you have some tools to change the cycle. Remember to pause, label your emotions out loud, ground, use the mindful plating technique, have some planned enjoyment and connection tools, set boundaries, have your stress tools, and remember, awareness and practice always instead of perfection. Thanksgiving is so much fun and it can be really enjoyable, balanced, peaceful. It doesn't have to be this battle with food. Thanks so much for listening. If this episode helped you, share it with a friend, please. This time period can be very difficult around emotions, emotional construct, and emotional eating. Everybody needs some facet of support. Please share this episode with a friend who might need a calmer, kinder holiday season. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.